You know, we're about shepherds, leaders, praying for leaders. We pray for congregation, but when we've touched a leader, we've touched a congregation.
Yes.
And that's our prayer. There are some men and women in the body of Christ that serve that aren't necessarily pastoring a congregation, but they are nonetheless a vital link in the communication for the body of Christ and the expression of the kingdom in the city. Mm-hmm. And one of those such individuals is Bob Perry. Yeah. And today... today, we are honoring Bob Perry with the Keeper of the Flame Award. Last year, this was given to Don Fento, if you remember. And Bob, we would like to present this to you, the Keeper of the Flame Award, in honor of your servant leadership for over 10 years, touching countless lives in the city of Nashville, for your priestly perseverance to kindle fresh wood on the fire of God's altar. Leviticus 6 says, "The fire which is on the altar must be kept burning. It must not be extinguished. So the priest must kindle wood on it every morning. Morning by morning, he must arrange the burnt offering on it and offer the fat of the peace offering up in the smoke on it. This is a perpetual fire which shall never go out on the altar."
Wow. 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 Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for Bob Perry today.
Yes.
We bless this man of God.
Jesus.
We thank you for his faithfulness. He came here 2004 and began to serve and humbly walk with you. And then about the time of the great call that was here in 07, the prayer mantle fell on him. And you increased his sphere of authority. You increased him. He went from a third world anointing and you transitioned him to a domestic stateside mantle. And you've given him favor in this city. You've given him favor to stir the hearts of men and women.
Yes.
Stirring them to pray.
Yes.
Stirring churches to pray. Only you know, Lord, the selfless hours he has spent. The time he has walked and been awakened and given his body and his mind to the place of prayer. Only you, Lord, know. He has kept the flame on the altar. Morning by morning, as Leviticus says, he has stirred. And for that, we are grateful. And for that, we acknowledge him, your servant, Lord, today, and the grace and the anointing and the calling that you have placed on him. And we bestow this Keeper of the Flame Award upon our brother, Bob Barrow.
Yes.
May you continue to increase, increase, increase his influence in this city and on the hearts of men and women.
Yes.
I pray that you open doors in the political arena.
Yes.
I pray that he will be able to walk into offices that he never dreamed of. God, do it. I pray, do it. You've already given him favor in the sporting arena. So, Lord, now I'm asking you to expand that even now into the political arena. Yes. So, Lord, we bless you now. And we thank you for your servant. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. What an honor.
Thank all the intercessors.
Thank you. We run together.
Here we go.
Thank you. Amen. Much deserved. Set him up. I said, are you going to be here? Commit yourself to being here this morning. No last minute plans. I don't know if Kemba wants to make the introduction or I do. I just know that we both really honor Marty being here today. And I can just tell you this about Marty Layton. He's the real deal. He's consistent. He's faithful to the call. I've been to his church a number of times. It's always full throttle, full throttle. Always. And I've received great encouragement from his words, as many of you have as well. I want you to make him welcome to Worship City Alliance as he shares what God has given him for this moment. And Marty, we love you and appreciate you. We came to town about the same time, didn't we? What time did you? What year?
1995.
I came in 92, and you're 95. So I'm going to get you a stand here, and you go right ahead, my friend.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise. Amen.
We have been here more than 20 years now, and it just seems like it went by so fast. I remember when we first got here, Kimball had the hottest thing happening, and I so honored the fact that I got to visit with him a little bit. He doesn't even remember me, but that's all right. I'm just teasing. But how many of you know God's looking for a church that'll say, "Where is the God of Elijah?"
Yeah.
Where is the God of Elijah? Amen?
Amen.
And that's not my message today. I just, driving in today, God just kept saying, where's the church that cries out, where's the God of Elijah? Where's the church that cries out, where's the God of Billy Sunday? Where's the church that cries out, where's the God of Billy Graham? Where's the church that cries out, where's the God of Elijah? I love the Lord. I love what God does in our lives. And I have no preconceived idea that I'm something. So praise the Lord. I pray that you catch that spirit. I feel at home here. I feel at home here, but I want to introduce myself and let you know a little bit about me, and then I'm going to hit the ground running, if that's all right.
Come on. Yes.
And Kimball and Jerry said, just make sure we're done by 3. I promise we'll be done by 3. No, I'm kidding. But my wife is Tracy. We've been married 28 years this past September 3rd. We've been married 28 years. And we were married. Sharon Stone did our wedding. We were raised up in South Florida. In Homestead, Florida. Most people don't know didn't know Homestead, Florida until after Hurricane Andrew came through and put us on the news all over the place. But we have 3 beautiful kids who work in the ministry with us. They all are on staff at our ministry, Life Point Church. And all 3 work in worship, and they can all prophesy just like I can. They don't like it when I put them on the spot and make them do it. But they like to do it in their style, and I encourage that. You know, my sons prophesy while they're video gaming. They prophesy to the guys online while they're video gaming. I was a few years ago, I was listening to my sons talking to somebody. They said, "Where do you live?" They said, "Chattanooga, Tennessee." "Well, you just need to go to a church out there." "Well, you don't know of a good church?" "Well, we know some people in ministry out there." And they started directing people to churches. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, a seed produces fruit after its own kind.
So true.
And don't believe the lie of the devil about your kids, because they're going to grow up to serve the Lord as strong as you and even stronger. Amen.
Yes.
Just believe it. Yes. Don't believe anything less than that.
Yes.
I mean, Larry Tomczak taught me that a long time ago. And I do got to honor you, and you probably get a lot of honor all over the place, but you're going to get some honor here today, and I appreciate you.
Yes.
But we love Nashville, Tennessee. We've been ordained with Bishop Bill Hammond, Christian International, for more than 30 years now. I mean, that is a long... It's hard for me to believe. I don't feel that old. My son, Matthew, he's 25, just turned 25, and he said, "You know, Dad, I feel like a grown man now, 25 years old. I mean, is this how you feel when you're 52? Because you always say, 'I feel like I'm 25. That's exactly how I feel.
That's true.
But we were... we moved to Christian International Ministries of Dr. Bill Hammond, and were trained personally by him. Been running with him my whole life, and I'm 31, in case those of you who are wondering how.
You're younger than me.
But prior to moving to Christian International, Dr. Sharon Stone was our pastor in Homestead, Florida, and she ordained me at 17 years old.
Come on.
So I've been ordained about 20 years. So to this day, I am still submitted and accountable to Bishop Bill Hammond, to Sharon Stone, and to the Christian International leadership, and I'm privileged to be there. And I don't run from accountability or covering, and I think in these last days we need to encourage people that that is such a safe place to live. You know, husbands need to cover their wives. Leaders need to cover their congregations. You know, especially if you're prophetic, you want somebody to be able to come in and help you to get better at your flow and at your office. If you're called to the office of a prophet, somebody needs to be able to stop you in your tracks and tell you you're doing it wrong. This is what you need to do right. And we need to not be so thin-skinned, and I know I'm talking to a room full of leaders. We need to not be so thin-skinned or so secure in our own thing that we can't be corrected.
Right.
Can somebody give me an amen today?
Amen.
So I've prophesied to probably more than 75,000 people, literally personal prophecy one at a time. Before we moved here from Christian International, we did conferences as many as 4 to 6 a month, where we had 5,000-6,000 people, and they would just divide us up, and I got... It was me and Apostles Tom and Jane over here, or me and Sharon over here, or and we just would go person by person, boom, 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 boom. Wow. And it was just exactly that. It was powerful. God did so many things. And so it was. It really will put the demand on your prophetic flow when you have that kind of demand put on you.
Right.
And I've prophesied to political leaders, to movie producers, to actors, to singers, to musicians, various world leaders. You know, I get phone calls from different folks all over the world. There's a band out there named Megadeth. I don't know if you know them, but minister to those guys. Lenny Kravitz, and you know, just different Newt Gingrich. You know, different folks. And you know, I don't say that to hurt my arm, pat myself on the back. I'm just saying, you need to believe God to be an influence wherever you go, the best you can, and God will put you in places that it'll blow your mind what God will do for you. Amen?
Yeah.
I was sharing with my son, and this is not the message, I just want to encourage you this morning. I was sharing with my son, my younger son, who plays drums for the ministry and also does a lot of the shipping and that sort of thing. We were talking about music, and I said, you know, when I first was walking with the Lord, I went into the Christian bookstore, and there was only like choral music. You know, you could listen to choirs sing, or you could listen to Southern gospel. You had nothing else. I mean, that was it. And there was one cassette of Phil Keaggy, and somebody said, you should hear that guy. And I said, I like that. So I listened to it, and 15, 16 years old, I prayed, God, I want to meet this guy. Not only do I want to meet with him, I want to play guitar with him.
Wow.
And even my furthest imagination, God, I want to record a record with him.
Wow.
Since then, I did get to meet him a lot. I've ministered prophetically over him and his family many times. And I'm recording a record with him right now.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing what God will do.
Yes.
And I say that to say this, God remembers.
He does.
Yeah. Come on.
He remembers. And it's exciting. And Kimball and I'm going to call him Apostle Kimball, if that's all right. Can
yes.
I just go ahead and start?
Yes.
Can we start shifting that now?
Yes.
Can we go ahead and start shifting that?
Yes.
I mean, as a prophet, don't you want to hear what God is saying over somebody's life?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We need to shift that to Apostle Kimball.
Yes.
God's raised him up to be an apostle in this hour. He's never supposed to be just a pastor. You know, apostles and prophets in the New Testament really are the main leadership in the church, and I'll go through some of that if I get to it. But apostles are key people for changing cities, and that's why God ordered your steps this way. But Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, I believe right now, there is a need for prophetic ministry more than ever before in our times. And Apostle Kimball gave me some keys and some cues and some things he was really praying and asking God for, and I humbly come and submit this to you, and if I offend you, I'm going to apologize right now, but I'm going to give you the word of the Lord. And one of my good friends is a prophet named Kim Clement.
Yes.
And Kim and I still talk a lot, and he's doing much better, by the way.
Praise
for those
God.
Of you that know him and are praying for him, doing much better. And Kim is one day we were talking, and he said, you know, prophets are the villain of today, but the hero of tomorrow. And he told this to me in about 1998 when I prophesied over everybody I came in contact with in Nashville, and they all kicked me in the, you know, gave me the left foot of fellowship, and did not want to receive a prophet in that hour. And I know that's hard for y'all to believe, but way back then, there was not very much here, am I right?
It's true.
How long have you been in the city? Yeah. 31 years. How much prophetic ministry was there back in 1998? Almost nothing.
Just you and
my strong. Yeah. And I'll tell you, God is about to release another wave of the prophetic ministry. Last time I was here, I preached a little bit about the Valley of Dry Bones, that God brought the prophet to this Valley of Dry Bones and said, prophesy. First he said, can they live? He said, God, I don't know the answer to that question. Only you know the answer to that. He said, so prophesy to the dry bones. And he did, and they stood up, a mighty army. The bone came to bone. They became very strong. Muscle, skin, all that stuff, but they had no life. And then he said, you got to prophesy again. And this, in this season of time, I believe we're at that second word.
Yeah.
We've got everything in place, but there's no power in the church yet. Mm-hmm. And so God is releasing a second wave of the prophetic anointing. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Who said that? Elisha said that. He said, listen, I know there's respect for what happened in the past, but Lord, I want that and double.
Yeah.
And this is where we are in this hour. I believe there's a strong need for the prophetic ministry, and we need to steward and police ourselves very well. Amen?
Amen.
Which is why I humbly and gladly share the material that I've given to you, because I believe there has to be standards in place. If a river doesn't have river banks, you just have a flood with very little value. But if there's river banks and there's guidelines and there's standards and there's a protocol and there is, then there's force and then there's current and there can be life in that, and there can be growth and there can be, it can carry so much. And I just want to encourage you, believe to go higher.
Yeah.
Believe for greater accuracy.
Yeah.
Believe for greater exaltation of the Lord,
yeah,
not us. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he was quoting Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Our natural body exists on natural food, which is what he's saying. That's what sustains us, but that's not enough to sustain us as ministry and as people of God, as sons and daughters of the Lord. We need the proceeding word. Amen. Proceeding means it's coming out of his mouth right now. It doesn't just mean something that somebody else prophesied.
Right.
It doesn't just mean something you're listening to on a tape. That's great. But you need to get to the place of intimate relationship with the Father. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And so that preceding word, a true prophetic ministry, should not cause people to put their faith in somebody's gifting. But it should give you an inspiration to put your faith stronger in the Lord.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have faith in somebody's office. And I'll tell you right now, men will let you down. If you haven't been alive in the body of Christ very long, men will let you down. And because God uses flawed vessels, and people are human and they make mistakes, they miss it prophetically, they miss it all over the place.
Yeah.
But God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give you a wrong word. Amen. This is good preaching.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It is.
Powerful.
True prophetic ministry should connect you to the Father.
Yeah.
Not to somebody's pizzazz. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in Nashville a long time. I've seen a lot of pizzazz. I've seen a lot of people blow in, blow up, burn out.
Come on.
and blow out.
Yeah.
And we continue to stand and watch people go through these cycles. The Lord wants ministry that'll introduce people to Him. He wants ministry in place that'll build His kingdom, that'll continue to enhance your relationship with the Father. And prophetic ministry should let you know, God, You're with me. Even though I didn't know you heard those prayers, even though I wasn't sure if You took me serious or not, You really did hear what I said 6 months ago or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And You know what's going on in my life today. Amen. Yeah. I'm not just grinding it out, but I'm a son and daughter being led by my Father. Romans 8:14, right? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God.
Yes.
And as a part of, I believe, this great awakening that's coming forth, in a great restoration, is a restoration of the foundations of the church. Foundations are so important. A restoration. When I say foundation, what I'm saying is, what do you see in the New Testament church? Jesus birthed a church, a New Testament church, with fivefold ministry flowing in the New Testament church, where apostles and prophets were leading, and they were set apart to pray and to seek the Lord for the church. They said, why are we waiting on tables? We need to seek out others to wait on the tables. We need to set them apart, and we need to go seek the Lord and get the word of the Lord. And you know what? The power and the anointing increased. I don't know about you, but I want to get back to that. If that was the church that Jesus birthed, that is a baby church. I think we need to grow up to be at least be the baby church.
Come on. Right.
True. Pastors, I believe, are shepherds among the flock.
Yes.
They don't have to be the head of the ministry. I think that's why we've seen so much destruction over the years. And there's a lot of good teaching out there on this. Peter Wagner has a great book on pastors and that are shepherds among the flock. You know, we have connect group leaders that we call connect group pastors. They're pastors. They're not behind the pulpit. They do get to preach every once in a while. We set different things up. But for the most part, they're pastoring people in their homes.
That's true.
You know, when you look at the church in the New Testament, there's a whole different picture than what you see as the church today.
That's so true.
And so pastors work closely with sheep. They comb through their woolly entanglements, and they wisely direct them. Teachers teach the revelation, I believe, that are brought by apostles and prophets. When we come here as leaders in the church, leaders in God's church, this is, how many of you know this is God's church?
Yeah.
It's not our churches, it's not our ministry. And if we seek to build our kingdom, it's not going to succeed. You'll just become a weed. I don't want to do that. But if you'll just take your time, you know, an acorn turns into the oak tree, but it takes a long, long time. You know, some people say, well, how do you keep standing after all these years and all the changes that you've gone through? It's in me. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
God just gave it to me. I'm doing what He told me to do. Until He gives me another instruction, I'm going to keep pioneering and blazing the trail that He gave me to blaze. Amen?
Yeah.
So teachers teach what the apostles and the prophets release. Evangelists are not supposed to be out evangelizing. They're supposed to be teaching the church how to go out and evangelize.
That's true, Mark.
The fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4 tells us that Jesus gave us gifts. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave a gift. Right?
Right.
The Holy Spirit, He gives the nine gifts of the Spirit, right? Which is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But the most personal, if you got the book, is tongues. That's a special personal gift to you from the Holy Spirit. But Jesus gave gifts. He gave the fivefold ministry. His mantle is the fivefold ministry. He is the apostle. He is the great sent one. He is the great prophet. He is the word of the Lord. He is the word, right? He is the evangelist that came to seek and save that which was lost. He is the pastor and the shepherd of our souls.
Yes.
He is the teacher.
Yes.
He's the great teacher. Everybody in the world knows Jesus is one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. Even lost people.
Yes.
Even unbelieving Jewish people who will not give any recognition to Jesus, they'll still say He was one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. His mantle of leadership and government was released as gifts to the church.
Good, man.
To equip the church. to equip the church, it says, for the work of the ministry. So we're not supposed to burn out doing everything. If we really want to see the church grow, what we need to do is start empowering people to do what they're called to do. That's why they're so frustrated. That's why they get so upset sitting in church doing nothing. They've got to be able to go do the works they were created to do. And so we're called to build them up, to edify the church, to build them one brick at a time. Are they going to make mistakes? Absolutely. It says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and grow up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now Ephesians 2 and verse 20, it says, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the one that everything measures up to. And by the way, God is realigning the church to that.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. The chief cornerstone is what we align the whole building to. And apostles and prophets are the foundation, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone that we align to. And so it says, in whom the whole building being fitly joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So our job description as leaders in the city, Apostle Kimball asked me to pray and bring a word for this group of leaders. And God knew who was going to be here. He knew what you were going to hear. And so this is what he wants to release. And like I said, if I'm the villain today, I'll be your hero tomorrow. I'm just going to do what God told me to do and say what God told me to say. And I do it respectfully and honorably, honoring the ministry in Nashville and the leadership of these men here. So I believe we're called to build his kingdom and mature the saints. That needs to become a greater focus.
Amen.
Build the kingdom and mature the saints. So the church is no longer tossed about with every wind of doctrine. If you keep reading, that's what it says. Every spiritual fad. In 20 years in Nashville, I say all this because as leaders we've been entrusted with a city. And whether you see it as that or not, you have to start understanding the future of the church in Nashville is squarely upon your shoulders.
Right.
And you need to start taking off the glossy things that everybody else says and think of ministry as get down and get the work done.
Right.
We have been entrusted with a city, the Nashville metro area. Before we ever moved here, God showed me. 5 years before we ever moved here, God gave me an open vision where the roof came off at church. It was one of those times when Bishop was prophesying. Everybody was on the floor crying and you know, we don't try to manufacture those things. Just God showed up.
That's right.
And we just all fell. And God began to show me Nashville. And Jesus stood on the edge, on the northeast side of Nashville, right where we are right now. Stood there and said, Marty, would you go redeem my city with me? Would you go take music back with me? Will you save my city with me? I want my city back. And I said yes in that vision. And then 5 years later, the door opened. You know, I didn't go try to move to Nashville the next day. In fact, I was very comfortable where I was. I was very set. And God knows how to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted, right? But for more than 20 years, we've seen ministries blow up. I mean, lots of people. Then they get burned out, and then they blow out. This shouldn't be. And the same congregation goes from one new thing to the next new thing, following every wind of doctrine, every fad that comes along.
Right.
We need to hear words of revelation from apostles and prophets. We need to hear, just like they did in the New Testament, as long as they're biblical words that can be judged. Let me put that out there. If someone comes up to me in our church, or somebody comes to visit and says, God told me, I said, well, wait a minute. The Bible says, let the prophets prophesy, let the other prophets judge. I happen to walk in the office of a prophet. So if you're going to tell me this is something God told you, then every prophetic word needs to be judged. Let me hear what you think God told you. Some people, they don't know how to handle things like that because how do you argue with God when somebody says, well, listen, Pastor, God told me the service was supposed to go in this direction. I am the faithful intercessor here. And I'm just telling you, this is the word of the Lord. This is what God wants us to do. We're going to do it. You know what that's called? Usurping authority.
Yeah.
God wants you to be able to have an equipping.
Right.
So that you can say, listen, I want you to hear the voice of God clear. I think maybe that first part might be God, but that second part, that ain't God.
Right?
Right. Is this
good?
Yeah,
really good.
So we need to hear the words of the Lord from apostles and prophets and make sure the words that can be judged so that people can, teachers can begin teaching these things. Shepherds can lead with these things. Evangelizing, evangelists can train people to evangelize with these revelations. Instead of reacting to the current contrary winds that blow people all over the place. And then we have to figure out, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? Kimball was sharing with me just a couple weeks ago about the foundational occupations of Nashville being harlotry and religion. The two first jobs in our city. And so we see a sort of mixing of that today, where Nashville has more churches per capita than any other place on the planet. Why? Because when somebody gets offended, they just seduce other people around them to go across the street, start a new ministry where they can do it better. That's religion and harlotry intertwined together. And he asked me about that, and I prayed about that. And I want you to know, we counsel people to stay in your church. Don't come to my church and say, now we want to be a part of your church now because we hear you're prophetic and you got the... Well, you know, you need to bloom where you're planted. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will prosper.
Right?
Yeah.
So true.
You got to encourage people, stay in your church.
Yeah.
Stay where God planted. Bloom where God planted you. You know, but it's all dry there. Well, you're wet.
Come on.
You need to be the one that wets everybody else around you. Get the stuff.
Yeah.
That's why we have Friday night services. So you can come out, you can drink of the fountain, go back and give it away. This is what church, this is what the kingdom looks like.
Right.
We stand together. I'm not fighting against you. I'm not wrestling. I'm not competing. And we should never have that competition spirit.
Right.
We shouldn't have a spirit to seduce somebody to come to our congregation because I saw they have a big tithe check, right? We can't be motivated by these things.
Right.
Look, I was privileged to go to the meeting the other day with Bob and Kim Driver and support what they're doing. I went there because I'm their friend.
Yeah.
And I love them and I want to see them succeed. And so did I have to get up and say anything? Absolutely not.
Come on.
I just want to be there to say this is quality stuff. You guys should be absorbing this.
Absolutely.
And so we counsel people to stay in your church. We encourage them to be building blocks instead of stumbling blocks. We encourage them to stay grounded and founded instead of being blown around by every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
Currently, I believe the enemy is deceiving and dividing and conquering people through a political wind of doctrine. And telling people this is an area that your church leadership cannot have a voice into because they're pastors. Has anybody heard that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Pastor Marty, why are you talking about political things sometimes? Because where else are you going to hear unfiltered truth coming to you?
Right.
You should get that from the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Just because the government says you can't tell them doesn't mean the government is right.
Wow.
Now,
that's good.
I believe my Bible shows me that's where God's prophets were very active in government.
Wow.
And so I believe the Lord is releasing a great reversal, a divine turnaround for our nation. And a reversal of all that the enemy thinks that he's instituted and looks like he has prevailed in. I'm just giving you an encouragement because it looks bad if you just listen to the what I call the false prophets. The prophets of Jezebel went out and said all kinds of things to people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. CNN, NBC, ABC, Fox... Sometimes, you know, you can't get a hold of the right information. And then they just overwhelm you with information until you're inundated with that kind of stuff. And you know what you need to do? Pull out.
Come on.
And just listen to the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
God wants us to know that he's turning things around in this nation. Don't be deceived by what... I don't know if you remember when the Saddam Hussein regime was being toppled, there was a statue that was being pulled down behind their communications minister, and he said, they're not here, there's no battle going on here, no one's taking anything from us, and here behind them they're toppling the statue. He doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
It's propaganda. They're telling you the opposite so that they can try to change your mind.
Come on. Yeah.
Listen, don't listen to false prophets.
Right.
Listen to the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen to what God is saying on the inside of you. This is why we have to equip people to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. You don't need somebody else to tell you what's going on.
Right.
1 John 2:20 says you have need that no man teach you,
right.
but you have the Holy Ghost in you. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. He'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yes, he will.
One of the greatest characteristics of God is he does not forget. God spoke to me and said, he hears the prayers of his people and he remembers your good works for him.
Yeah.
Some of you, you don't realize how much he remembers. You don't because you forget.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much the Lord remembers that you've done for him. Malachi chapter 3 says he even writes a book about this, about how much he remembers about you, those that remember him, those that stand for him. God notes who stands for him. God remembered Cornelius because he remembered his generous lifestyle of blessing his people. God considered and remembered Job. God remembers everything that you and I have done for him. We forget. You don't remember how you were on fire sometimes when you were just newly saved and you didn't even know how you did it, but you got 10 people saved all at once, or you did other things for the Lord. You know, when I first got saved, I used to do an outreach called Reach the Beach. I don't know how many people we got saved, but we would set up a band on the beach. We'd be as loud as we could be. Crowds would gather all over the place. We would just rock and roll until our fingers were sore. And then we'd preach the gospel to them.
Yeah.
And they'd stand there and they'd give their hearts to the Lord. Every one of them raise their hands, come down, get prayer, get Bibles, get plugged into a church. You know, God remembers all these things. I totally forgot about that. And my wife reminded me. Thank God for a good wife. Amen. But the concept I believe we must have for this hour is found in Genesis. And I'm not going to turn there because I want to be careful of the time. But in Genesis, God told Adam, he put him in a garden, fully equipped. And by the way, you need to understand God wants you blessed. If there's something else that you really need in this hour, as you need to know, God wants you to prosper.
Yeah.
And people have a problem with the prosperity gospel. If I was the devil, I'd tell people not to prosper too. Because they're going to impact the kingdom of darkness tremendously when they're prosperous. Amen.
Amen.
I happen to know that there is a political candidate that is radically saved, doesn't know how to live yet, doesn't know how to control his mouth yet, but radically saved. So just throwing that out there to you. Do you remember when you were first saved?
Yeah.
Did you know how to say 2 Corinthians or did you just say 2 Corinthians? I said Malachi. I don't know about you. I was from an Italian background and I thought it said Malachi. I did. I thought the little cords were handles for my Bible. I didn't know until somebody told me that's not a handle.
That is awesome.
You know, there's things that you don't know when you're first saved, right? So God places Adam in a garden, totally jam-packed full of prosperity. And he didn't have to do anything to walk into that prosperity, just be a son. But he had to stop the weeds from growing, and he had to reseed it. He had to enjoy it. He had to take time to enjoy the blessing. But he also had to work, right? And God told him, I want you to dress and keep this garden. In other words, don't allow the weeds to grow. Keep sowing seeds. If there's a snake that comes in the garden, it doesn't say this, but I believe God said this to him. If you see something slithering around, crush it with your heel. Crush that thing. Crush its head. How do I know this? Because Romans 16:20, it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That's what God wanted to happen. And then God prophesies over the devil. He says, her seed, his heel is going to bruise your head, crush you. And so it's an accurate reference. The God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet. So God put Adam in a garden, and he didn't say that the enemy wasn't going to come. He said, you have to tend and keep this garden. Now, what does all this have to do with what I'm talking about? America is our garden.
Yeah.
We have to tend and keep our garden. It's a different approach from what the church has how the church has viewed the world around us over the last 50 or so years. We are in this world, Brother Marty, but we have nothing to do with this world. And you know what you've done? You've given all the influence of the world around you that's going to influence the next generations to the enemy.
Come on.
Let me give you a couple quick perceptions here. We cannot give the dominion of the nation over to the enemy. We keep doing this, thinking that we're being spiritual, and what we're being is weak. God calls us to rule and reign with Him in this world and in the world to come. Revelations 11:15 says, "The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, the anointed ones, the church." So we are, how many of you know you're the anointed ones? It says, "The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ."
Yes.
The church, you are His Christ. He is the Lord and you are His Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one, or the anointed ones in this case. So this is where we get the seven mountain mandate. I know everybody gets excited when you hear it pronounced that way. Seven mountain mandate. It's exciting sounding that way. But you need to understand, God has anointed you to make the difference. He's given you the anointing to take the kingdoms by force.
Yeah. Right.
The kingdom of God has already suffered violence. We were deceived into thinking we didn't have to take care of this garden. But the violent now rise up and take the kingdom by force. We forcefully advance God's agenda in the earth.
Yeah.
Yes. Is somebody awake out there? See, what happens is people want to take the ostrich approach and hide your head in the sand and start preaching. You have to buy these meals that last for like 50 years. I don't know about you. I don't want to eat food that's 50 years old. Come on, somebody. That's ridiculous. Why? I remember Y2K. I don't know if you remember it or not, but God, everybody got all this water and all this food. They had flashlights. They had batteries. They had everything stored up. It was going to happen. Computers were shutting down the rest of the world. Christ could come back right then and there. And, you know, I said, "Lord, what is going on? Everybody's so fearfully motivated. You can't be motivating everybody. That's just spirit of fear. You don't motivate with fear." And the Lord said, "Don't buy a bottle of water." And we didn't. I think Tommy was around when we went through that, right? We were like, "No.
We're a grill."
We were like, "No, we are not buying one thing. I'm telling you, God spoke." And so, you know, the enemy's trying to do that again today. Buy lots of ammo. Get you a bunker plan going, you know. Get the guns. Listen, I love guns. I own a lot of them. And I own a lot of ammo because me and my sons, we have a lot of fun. I have to say, I'm Italian. So I shoot my gun sometimes like this. But get out of that fear of motivation. We don't have to be motivated by fear. Listen, 1,000 will fall at my side.
Yeah. Come on.
10,000 by my right hand, but it won't come near me. Amen? He hides me under His wings. And you need to get a mentality, we are not just surviving, we're taking over.
Yeah.
We're not just holding on, we're possessing. This is our nation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everybody and everything in it. Come on. And He has given it to us to control, to manage, to tend and to keep. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus said, "I want you to occupy until I come."
Yes.
The word occupied is a military occupation. When we went into Iraq and we removed Saddam Hussein from power, we overthrew his evil regime. That was occupying. That was a military occupation. We drive out. When God told Joshua to go into the promised land and possess it.
Yeah.
The word possess in Hebrew is the word yaresh. It means to drive out the former inhabitants, to dispossess the current inhabitants of the land, to push them out and to take over. You need to get a vision of the kingdom of God on a forceful advance. We are not just holding on, praying the right candidate in. God, do something. Oh my God, we better get enough water. We got to get enough ammo. Give us that food lasts for 50 years. I'll take it.
Come on.
You got to overrun the enemy.
Yes.
Who does he think he is?
Right.
He doesn't own anything. He doesn't even have any power. We are called to establish the kingdom of God right where we are.
Come on.
To establish His kingdom, to rule, to reign, to possess, to take over the kingdoms of this world. We're called to be those that release the shock and awe against the enemy.
Yeah, come on.
You got to be a weapon of mass destruction to the powers of darkness.
Yeah.
When John the Beloved received the prophetic words on the island of Patmos, they were words to leaders over a city.
That's good.
He said, this is what we need to do. We need to release these words, the Father to the Son. We need to release these words over the cities. Because if I can get it to the leaders of the city,
yeah, right.
I can change the city.
That's right.
I know I've heard that somewhere, Apostle Kimball. See, we've been given authority to declare, to decree. Kings decree and declare. We are kings and priests to the Lord. And so when we say something, we're not just speaking to hear ourselves speak. We're not just, when they were praying this morning, Jeff and Bob, they weren't just praying. They were legislating.
Yeah,
these spirits cannot be here. This is the order of the day. This is the way things are going to be. And when we all come together, the heavens will be open above us.
Yes.
These things will, our city will begin to see freedom again. There'll be a fresh release of the anointing that begins to pour down from this meeting and splash out over all of the Nashville region. You should hear this guy's pray. See, we're called to legislate in the heavens. Like leadership at a capital city. You know, the Congress, they legislate, and then everybody in the nation has to abide by what they have legislated. That is the picture.
Yeah.
I could go into the whole definition of the word ecclesia. Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia. Those were the called out governors from the Roman population. These are the ones who were called to make the rest of the known world look like Rome. Said, I will build my ecclesia.
Yeah.
My leaders will release the legislation of my spirit wherever they go.
Yeah.
Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Everywhere you go, you bring the kingdom, you bring the rule and the domain of your God. Doesn't matter what the devil has to say. You could be in the middle of a riot. All of a sudden, you show up and the angels start rioting against them.
Yeah.
See, when you show up, you release God's ground troops into the marketplace.
Yeah.
The Bible says they rush on the city. They climb over the walls. They climb into the windows. Nothing can stop the advance of His army. That's in Joel chapter 2, the army of the Lord. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's the prophets prophesying. That's the order that God sets it up. When God declares a word in heaven, it is blown like an angel in heaven blows the trumpet, and then it is echoed in the earth, and the prophets prophesy it. And that is the blowing of the trumpet in Zion, the church. It says, the Lord utters His voice before His advancing army. He releases the word before they do one thing.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
And then it begins to speak in Joel 2:25 of a great restoration. I'll restore the years that the enemy thinks he ate away from you. I'll restore all the... You think you've gone through 8 years of the nation twisting and turning in a wrong direction, I'll restore it like that. I can put somebody in a position of power and just straighten it out in 10 minutes.
Amen.
I'll restore the years you've lost. My great army will move like fire across the landscape. Everything behind it will be burned up, changed forever. Because the fire of the Lord within that army. And then Peter quoted Joel 2:28, and then it shall come to pass that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is what I'm saying. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? See, there's a generation that wants more of the prophetic.
Amen.
Why do you think you're so addicted to it? Why do you think there's something inside of you that says, I gotta have another word? Well, you just got 10 over the last 2 months.
Come on.
But I gotta have another one. Why is it? Because that's in your DNA. You're called to be those that hear the word of the Lord and prophesy it.
Yes.
You're called to be those that carry it out like a fire across the city.
Come on.
Come on, it's not about leadership. It's about the people of God like an army moving across the city, burning it up for Christ. It says, your sons and your daughters will get addicted to this. I claim that every day.
Come on.
I declare it over my kids every day. They're addicted to the prophetic.
Come on. Yes.
If I know anything about me, I am a prophet. I don't try to tell myself I'm an evangelist. I don't try to tell myself I'm an apostle. I don't try to be something I'm not. No, I'm a prophet. I walk in the office of a prophet. I declare the word of the Lord, and I prophesy over my own self and over my own family.
That's right. Yeah.
And by the way, leaders, that's your first ministry.
Yes.
Your old men shall dream dreams. That's not talking about age. It's talking about maturity.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Bob, you can start dreaming dreams now. Mature ones dream dreams. Doesn't mean you're old.
Amen.
Young men see visions, you know. What do you do when you get people in church that are get so caught up that, I think I just saw something? You don't say, brother, hang around for a little while, you'll get used to this. Let me give you the names of some classes that we're going to be teaching, get at the back of the line. You know you're doing, you're going, yep, to that gift.
Come on, yeah.
Is that too real?
Yeah.
Stir it up.
Bake
stir it.
It up.
Am I preaching too long?
No.
Good.
That's
awesome.
Good. Good.
See, I see there's a great awakening coming.
Yeah.
A great end time harvest coming. Charles Wesley said, revival is to wake up the church, but awakening is to wake up the nation.
Mm.
We're praying for our nation. God doesn't forget your prayer. He heard you.
Yes.
He's actively working on that prayer right now. Angels are at, they're at work right now.
Yes, they are.
I mean, there's so much happening in a realm that you can't see.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while, God pulls back the veil, I can see, and then I don't get to see. It's amazing what you see in a tenth of a second.
Yes. Right.
Let me talk about the political scene just for a couple minutes here, because you need to get free in this area. You need to be free. First of all, you control what happens in our nation. You have to know that. Whatever you allow is allowed. Whatever you disallow is disallowed. That's why Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound. I'll back you up from heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth, I'll back you up and loose it from heaven. You've got the authority. Here, use it. The Bible says God sets up kings. He puts people in authority. About 10 years ago, I found myself in the middle of this prophetic flow, and I prophesied a name came out of my mouth. And right before it came out of my mouth, I said, do I have the faith and the guts to say that? Yeah, I have to say it. God prophesied that this one was he was the one of his choosing, this particular candidate. I called him out by name, and then about 2 years after that was the election where it looked like this one was going to run, and then he didn't run, and I thought, man, I missed it. Something happened there. But you know, what the Lord said in the rest of that word was the church has to do its part in co-laboring with the Lord and praying and fighting the battle with our weapons of warfare.
Yeah.
We've got to do our part. When we say using our weapons of our warfare and praying, it doesn't just mean marching around punching the air. That's great. But you got to continue that verse where it says, pulling down the strongholds of the enemy.
Yeah, come on.
Don't stop with the prayer.
Right.
Pull the stronghold down.
Come on.
You've got the authority.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Pull it down. We're not just called to come into churches and like a giant playpen, toss our prophetic happy balls around and bless each other. Hey, bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, we've done that for 20 some odd years that I know of, 30 some odd years that I know of. Praise God for that. I'm not making fun of that, but at some point you got to get out of the playpen.
Come on. Yes.
Sometimes you got to grow up enough to go out and actually like prophesy to a waiter.
Yes.
Prophesy to a waitress. Prophesy to the maitre d'. Prophesy to somebody that... you got all kind of opportunity all around you. What that one brother said, I know a congregation of 160 that's not going anywhere. Prophesy to every one of them. They'll take it. You know what? If you miss it, it's all right. I'm not going to teach about that right now, but, you know, my daughter, first child, we set her up to walk. My wife was at that end of the room. I was at this end of the room.
Yes.
We knew she was ready to walk. She went. She took like 2 steps and then fell over. I didn't pick her up and say, what is wrong with you? You're not my child any longer. You can't do this. You're supposed to do what I do. What was it? No. She was learning to walk. You know, you're learning to prophesy.
Yeah.
You don't just immediately have accuracy. You got to learn these things.
Right.
You don't just immediately flow in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, accurately and excellently. No, you got to. The Bible says you have to exercise spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
You have to exercise your spiritual senses.
Right.
It's ESG, not ESP. Acts chapter 2 and verse 35, it says, we're called to subdue the enemy and make all his enemies his footstool, and the feet are in the body, so they've got to be put under our feet. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is held in the heavens until we fulfill this.
Yes.
You cannot, Jesus cannot come back until you do your job. And pretty soon, I believe there's a generation alive today that's getting it. We have to do our part. We can't just say, why is this happening in our nation, God? Oh, Lord, please. You said if those that are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, you'll hear from heaven and heal their land. No, you got to turn from your wicked ways, too.
Yes. Yes.
The church I'm talking to. He's talking to the church, by the way.
Yes.
That's a whole other message.
That's good.
I hope you say law on that just a little bit. Because sometimes we think it's okay for us to behave however, and then we wonder why people don't want to take Jesus serious when we're preaching at them.
Come on.
Well, weren't you the guy that was just drinking over there? Weren't you the guy that had a cigarette in your hand over there? Well, brother, God doesn't condemn me over that. You're not going to go to hell for drinking beer. But you're also not going to have any impact on anybody.
Come on.
You should live. If the Bible says this is how leadership should live and you shouldn't have this stuff involved in your life, that's leadership is the example for the rest of the church.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
ultimately how God wants the church to be. And he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And we should get it together first before we start trying to save somebody.
Come on.
Yep. Okay.
Preach.
So Jesus is held into in the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father until we make all his enemies his footstool. Is this okay?
Awesome.
Is everybody still okay?
Love it. Yeah.
It's getting hot in here. Did you turn the heat on? I need to be preaching about hell. So the Lord showed me this particular political candidate would be like Peter, who Jesus himself chose. Jesus chose Peter to be the one to lead the church, the main leader of the church. I'm leaving. You're going to be the main leader. I can already tell there's people in here that are saying, I don't believe in that. That's not my candidate. Ted Cruz, brother. Ted Cruz. I'm just going to throw it again. I'm going to offend you. I'm an equal opportunity offender. He picked Peter. Jesus picked Peter. We need to get past what we think, get to what he thinks. He picked Peter. Out of all of them, he picked Peter. Why would he pick Peter? Peter flew off the handle a lot.
Yeah.
He ran off at the mouth. He was very impetuous. He is reckless. He kind of had this reckless attitude. He cut the ear off the high priest's servant. And Jesus, Peter, are you kidding me, Peter? He picks up his ear, puts it back on the, says, sorry. Puts his ear back on his head, heals him, and says, I'll put your name in the book just, you know, to kind of give you honor for that. I really apologize for that. And the only reason why the guy's name is in the book, Malchus, probably. But he cuts the ear off his high priest servant, and then he's cussing around the campfire, denying Jesus. Cussing! Jesus picked him to lead the church. Did you hear that part? Jesus is facing his hardest trial, the biggest thing he'll ever have to go through. He runs the other direction, says, forget all this, I'm backsliding, I'm going fishing. He said, probably said, I'm going blankety-blank fishing.
That's right.
Y'all are so perfect. So he backslides, goes to his old lifestyle, and Jesus comes after him. After his resurrection, comes and chases him down. Says, I love you three times. And he reverses the three denials. He says, will you lead the church now? Will you please do this? You're the only one that has the guts,
come on,
the fire that it's going to take to turn this thing around.
Come on.
Awesome.
Come on.
God also spoke in that same time about one that would be like David. David wasn't taken seriously when he stood in a whole lineup of 16 other candidates. I mean, a whole lineup of his qualified brothers. And they said, surely the Lord's anointed is right here, Eliab Cruz. Surely the Lord's anointed. He's the best looking one. He's the one that's going to win. I'm telling you, it's him. And God said, nope. The one... See that ugly little one over there, out there, that nobody wants to... No, he can't win! Yep. That's the one I've anointed to lead. Wow. I'm telling you the word of the Lord. I'm giving it to you as sweet as I can give it to you.
Come on.
That's right.
He would be the one that would be anointed with the gift set, with the qualifications to lead and make a change.
Come on.
David... Like David, God would orchestrate a showdown with Goliath. That's what God said. This particular one, he would orchestrate a showdown with a Goliath.
Come on.
He would orchestrate a showdown with a Goliath, one-on-one. Uncircumcised, non-covenant, one that looks too big to topple. This is what the Lord told me 10 years ago. But it would take one with a warrior spirit. A little rough around the edges to bring the giant down.
Come on.
Awesome.
And make the nation great and safe again. The Lord showed me again, Jacob. How Jacob wrestled with the Lord. How God wrestled with Jacob. And it looked like he used trickery to gain wealth and inheritance and blessing.
Yeah.
Jacob was one of the wealthiest men on the planet at the time. He wrestled with the Lord. Even though he had all the blessing, he asked God's blessing on his life. He wanted true riches. He started to identify, that's really the riches. That's really the blessing. And the Lord chose Jacob, and the Lord chose David, and the Lord chose Peter, not because of outward things. In fact, it says in 1 Samuel 17, that man looks on the outside, or 16, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart.
Yes, yes.
Because only God knows what's in the heart of a man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only God knows the gift set that he built him with. Only God knows what he developed over the years. God saw in David a king. He saw in Peter a leader. He saw in David, in Jacob, a prince. And he said, you know what? I'm wrestling with you so I can pull something out of you.
Yeah.
There's an Israel inside of you. There's a prince with God in you. You're a son of the king.
Yes.
The anointing's already on you. I want to encourage you today. God is with us. God is in our nation. He's in our government. He's in the church. He's in with his people. His name is Emmanuel. You don't see because all you see is the natural around you. But there are things that are more real than the temporary things that you see around you.
Amen.
God's turning America the Beautiful back to him. Every time I pray, God calls it America the Beautiful.
Yes.
God's turning America the Beautiful back to him because his people who are called by his name have humbled themselves and prayed.
Yes.
Turned from their wicked ways, and now he is responding and healing our land. He's remembering our service to his kingdom. He's responding with a mighty revival. What we read in Joel chapter 2, it's not just a Sunday. No, they were prophesying about you.
Yes.
That's what Peter said. This is you.
Yes.
And I'm telling you today, this is you. You're going to rush on the city. You're going to run on the wall. You're going to set things on fire for his purposes. You're going to release the divine reversal with the Lord. You're going to be the one that stands with him, praying in tongues and watching the power of God descend upon the enemy. One thing about Goliath, I just want to put this footnote in there. All Israel saw was this man dressed in this mighty armor. And he was huge. Huge. Sorry, I had to go there. But if you read the natural historical commentaries, Goliath was a very old, very weak man. He was still tall, and the Bible talks a lot about his armor, how he was fully armored. You couldn't see beyond the facade. But behind the facade was a weak, 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 old giant who could not even hold himself up. It says he had to be carried down into the valley and set up.
Come on.
David went, this is my opportunity. What are the stakes again? I don't have to pay taxes. My dad don't have to pay taxes. I get this money and I get to marry the king's daughter. I'm in.
Yes.
I just want you to realize the enemy that you think you're afraid of is defeated already. Mm-hmm. He's already wiped out. He's already weak. All you have to do is knock him over. A rag and a rock will do it.
Come on.
That's all David used. But we got to do our part and seriously come together.
Yes.
Seriously come together. Realize God is changing. The Bible says, wake the mighty. Wake the mighty. That's what I'm trying to do today, is wake you up.
Thank you, Lord.
You can think whatever you want to think about me. I only want to come bless you.
Yes.
Only want to give you what God is saying in this hour.
Yes.
Would you stand with me? Father, make us one.
Yes, Lord.
It's not about my kingdom, your kingdom, anybody else's kingdom. It's about you.
Yes, Jesus.
It's all always been about.
Yes.
It's always been about releasing your kingdom here on earth, the domain of the king, the dominion of the king. Kingdom. Father, I'm asking you today to quicken these words. Lord, I know some of the words were sharp. You said the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between marrow and bone, and the thoughts and the intents of the man's heart.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah, we understand the marrow and the bone, but Lord, what you're talking about is our thoughts sometimes crowd out your word and crowd out your concepts and your... When you present things, and the intentions of our heart seem to override what you want done. And so you send a cutting word that is able to divide asunder between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that we'll do your will, Father. This is what we all desire. That's why Jesus went to Peter and said, would you feed my sheep? You know I love you. Would you do this? Father, I pray today that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, prophetic eyes. Lord, train us to be more accurate. Give us a maturity, O God, so that we can not try to impress people with our accuracy, but that we would let you be the one that impresses somebody with accuracy, so that you would get the glory, that our motives would be pure, Father. That our methods would be pure. Father, that our operations, Father, everything we do would bring glory to you. That's what it's about. It's not about us. Father, you want to change this city. You want to change our nation. And I believe you do it first by changing the church.
Yes, Lord.
I'm asking you today, Father. You said the seeing... eye and the hearing ear, the Lord is the creator of both. Father, I've been quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. I believe that you are tearing blinders off of our eyes and making us able to receive even sometimes a tough contrary word. Father, I pray, Lord, that this city would be known not as a goofy city or a spooky spiritual city, but as a city that worships God, where the kingdom of God is established, where we really can't have our own expressions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Father, we don't want to mix our contamination of ourselves into your flow. We're not called to reproduce silly attributes. We're not called to reproduce personality styles. We're not called to reproduce any of that. We're called to reproduce Christ.
Yeah.
Father, fitly join us together properly so that every joint supplies. We need each other.
Yes,
God, more than ever, we need to see that.
Yes.
Father, I pray over this region, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would begin to shape and change Nashville again. That we would go higher from glory to glory, faith to faith. Some people say, how many times are we going to be in a transition? I hope till Christ comes we're transitioning.
Amen.
Higher and higher. We leave the old behind and we begin to embrace the new. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We're not letting go of the past, but God, we want a double portion.
Come on.
We want even more.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, you said, the works that I do, you'll do, and greater. That's the double.
Double portion.
Thank you, God.
God, I just thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear the revelation that you're releasing.
Yes.
I just believe some of you today are getting revelation, even as I'm just praying right now. There's such a atmosphere of revelation. You know, God is going to give you keys to the things that you're facing right now, the questions you're asking. God's already working on that. You know, I believe so much in the future. I believe so much in the destiny and the future in front of you that you cannot be hindered by your past. You have to forget those things which are behind. Jesus gave such a powerful statement. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. The second shortest verse in the Bible is remember Lot's wife. Mm-hmm. We don't have the right to look back and judge things by the past.
Yeah.
Yes, we want the double portion, Father. We know that you were with them, and just like you said to Joshua, as you were with Moses, you'll be with us. But Father, we're not hindered by the past any longer. We're not going to look back and say, remember the good old days. But God, we're connecting to the future. The future of Nashville. The future of our city, the future of our ministries. Father, our children are going to rise up and do great wonders and exploits for you.
Yes.
Father, there's great and powerful things you're going to do with our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren.
Yes, come on.
Father, I pray that every person that's here today, Father, would have such a legacy-building anointing on them now.
Yes.
Father, that they would release something that, that 40 years from now, they would say, Grandpa Kimball wouldn't have done it this way. Let's do it the way Grandpa Kimball would do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it the way Grandpa Bob would do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it the way Grandpa Jerry would do it.
Yeah.
All of us, Father, rising up, releasing such an impression, such an imprinting on this generation and the generations to come by obeying you.
Yes.
Father, let your kingdom rise up now and forcefully advance. You see, prophets prophesy personal words, but they also release a greater atmosphere.
Come on.
That you can just breathe in the future.
Yeah.
And begin to see some things that God wants you to see. Some pictures of the future. You need to grab hold of this. Get back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way my friend Kim says you're somewhere in the future and you look much better than you look right now. Father, thank you for the WCA.
Yes.
I decree blessing over this
blessing.
Over this ministry.
Yes.
Worship City Alliance. Father,
blessing.
You founded it.
Yes.
It's not founded on a man or a personality or a personality type or a style.
Yes.
It is founded by you.
Yes.
And Father, we rally together for the continuance of this ministry.
Yes.
It's not your will that it closes
down.
Yes. It's not your will that it stops. It's your will that it rises up.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
And Father, the key that I hear for everybody in the ministry here today, raise up others to your level.
Yes. Yes.
Raise up. Raise them up to your level.
Yes.
Make them exactly the same level as you. The moment you achieve that, you're going higher.
Come on.
Work yourself out of your own job.
Yes.
Let somebody else begin to take over. Start training and mentoring and tutoring.
Yes.
Spiritually speaking.
Yes.
And God will begin to raise you up to a new level. There's so much more for this city beyond what you're seeing at the moment. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered in the hearts of men the things God has prepared for those that continue loving him, but by his Spirit,
yes.
he begins to open our eyes to
yes,
see.
Jesus.
Father, I just thank you that this anointing is permeating the hardest of hearts. Father, even areas where we might have theological differences. Lord, you're doing something. I so appreciate that Baptist pastor that was up here and his heart.
Yes.
Father, I didn't hear theology and doctrine clashing. All I heard was hearts reaching for hearts.
Yes, reaching for hearts.
God, that's so vital, so important.
Reaching for hearts.
Our nation needs a turnaround, Father.
Yes.
As we stand here today, Father, we do intercede.
Yes.
Everyone's called to be an intercessor. Everyone's called to tarry. Father, we stand before you in this atmosphere, in the miraculous right now. Father, we ask you for a miracle for our nation, for our city, Father. Let our city experience revival. Let our city experience something that it's never seen before. Let it experience a unity from ministry to ministry. Father, that there would be no divisions among us, that there would be no schisms, that there would be no separation, but Father, that we would respect the hand has to be a hand, the knee has to be the knee, the foot has to be the foot. Jesus, you said even the head can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And you are the head. You need us and we need you and we need each other. Make us strong, Father. Let us be a model city for the nations. Father, I'm asking you for a bigger thing. Father, I'm asking you right now that we would see, Father, such a release of unity. Father, that whole nations would model themselves after the church in Nashville.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I just go ahead and minister to you? Father, I just thank you for Kimball. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I do call you an apostle, a sent one. I sent you to this city. The enemy fought you, and the enemy's fought your family. And the Lord says, son, you did well. You did not. And I'm just clearly communicating to you what I hear the Lord saying. Kimball, you did not blow it. You did not make the mistakes you think you made. You made great decisions. You made powerful decisions. You followed every step I ordered for you. You're an obedient, blessed son. Your family is blessed. The enemy's lies are so dissipating now. I just really see a dissolving of a complete facade of the enemy in your family. I can see where the Spirit of God is pouring out fire from heaven. It's like the lie of the enemy that's even held over the eyes of one, that enemy is being taken out by hailstones and fire from heaven as God releases a fiery, like a firefall from heaven. That's the word I'm looking for. Like a firefall from heaven upon the enemy. And I just see the burning up of old vestiges, the burning up of old clothes, the burning up of things that no longer fit. And the Lord said, I'm causing something to grow from deep within in the whole family. And the Lord said, I'm releasing a family anointing, a family inheritance, and the whole family will unify, and the whole family will stand up. And the Lord says, don't you think I know how deep those seeds went? Don't you think I know the parable of the mustard seed? The Lord said, I am causing something mighty to happen from deep within. You won't see it on the outside for a number of years, but the Lord said, you're going to see it growing on the inside, little by little. Keep watering the seeds. And the Lord said, you're going to see something powerful begin to burst out. And when the time is right, the old facade falls off, burns away. And the Spirit of the Lord says the whole family rises up again in ministry together. And I just see a powerful ministry, a ministry that's going to be in the marketplace and in the church. And I just see you being able to set up financial things, set up creative things, set up artistic things. You know, I don't even know what I'm saying, but I see all this thing coming together in the church and in the world. And I just see like big city franchises and big things like that, where the Lord has put dreams in your children, and these dreams are going to start creating a bigger. I don't even know what I'm saying. Things. Bigger developments. Bigger things that everybody's going to be attracted to and want. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you. Don't you think I remember the sacrifice?
Yes.
Don't you think, Melinda, that I remember the sacrifice that you made for me? The Lord says, Melinda, I still hear you singing on a beach. I hear you singing to me a worship song. I hear you singing in simple times. And the Lord says, and you went out boldly and you held your hands high and you did what you knew to do. And then you got disappointed. But the Spirit of the Lord says, daughter, I am releasing such a reward to you right now. It will be so big. It's going to take you a little while to focus and realize just how big that thing is and to realize what it is. It's like when you come up beside a building, all you can see is one little thing in front of you, but it takes you a little bit to step back and look at the size of that thing. And I just see huge blessing coming after you, Melinda. The Spirit of the Lord says, I have not forgotten your heart's desire and the dream within you, and I'm going to give it to you. And the Lord said, I remember your prayers. I remember what you prayed 20, 30 years ago. The Lord said, I remember how you laid hands on your children. I remember how these things went down. And the Lord said, you followed the pattern. You did exactly what I told you to do. And so the Lord says, now you're going to see the divine reversal, the divine turnaround. And the Spirit of the Lord says, Kimball, I'm going to connect you to so much money right now, you're going to see money problems go away. It'll be the last thing you think of instead of the first thing you think of. The Lord said, you're not going to have to think about how much money is this, how much money is that. The Lord said, you're just going to do and do and do for me. And the Lord says, you're going to look back and say, God, you continue to replenish. Hallelujah. And I just see a continual like waves crashing on the beach line, waves crashing against the rocks, provision upon provision upon provision. And in between, you'll spend that provision, but there'll be another provision. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I told you to cast your bread upon the water, and it would come back wave upon wave. And that's what I'm doing in this hour. And so the Spirit of the Lord says, son and daughter, I want you to realize I am the one who has sustained you. I am the one that pours life into you. I am the one that provides for you. And I am the one that holds you and your family in the palm of my hand. And the Lord said, I would not let the enemy come in and pilfer. I would not let the enemy come in and plunder. But now, says the Lord, I have fortified what needs to be fortified, and I will begin to and I plug the holes, and now begin to pour out the blessing into my money bag, saith the Lord. Father, I release blessing upon him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Apostle Amen. Kimball Knight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amen. Can I just keep going? All right, Jerry, you're next.
Yes. Take that.
Jerry, the Spirit of the Lord says, I made you a pioneer. And when you pioneered something and you created a landing place, people came and then the pioneer's work was done. And the Lord says, but that was not the only thing I asked you to pioneer. There's so many more things inside of you. And the Lord said, there's business in you. And you know that there's a radio music business. And I know you do that. And I know I've prophesied that over you before. But I don't see like you putting together a little show here, a little show there. I see a whole business coming together now. And people have forgotten about the radio waves, but you have not. And the Lord says, son, there's such power and influence just sitting there. And the Lord says, I'm going to cause some things to come together where you'll be able to own something for pennies on the dollar. And you'll be able to cause that thing to explode. You will pioneer again, says the Lord. And the Lord says, you've been on a sabbatical of sorts. And the Lord says, I don't want you looking back. I don't want you judging things by the past. But I want you to know, says the Lord, that you have a lot of friends. You have a lot of partners that are out there that are waiting on you. They're waiting to partner with you. They're waiting to give. They're waiting to be a blessing. And the Lord says, son, there's such a deep flow of the prophetic in you. And I just see you prophesying over the airwaves. And, I don't know who's on the radio now and who's not. But when I was in Panama City Beach doing the Reach the Beach things, there was a guy on the radio named Dawson McAllister, I think was his name. And he would get on there and he'd, share the gospel and he'd talk to people on the radio. And I just see you doing something similar to that and playing music, yes, but at the same time, I just see you have such a counsel and such a father's heart.
Yes.
Young ones, they need to hear. They don't have a dad. And they don't have someone with a parental concern. Like Apostle Paul said, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers, somebody with a parental concern. And you have such a parental concern over this generation. The Lord says, I'm going to give you a voice into this generation. I'm going to give you a microphone that gives you influence into this generation. And it's going to be old school, but the Lord said it's going to become the new school. And so the Lord says, son, I want you to prepare yourself because I haven't forgotten about you, and I'm not leaving you crumbs from the table. But the Lord says, I'm preparing a feasting table right in front of you. Get ready, son. I've been causing you to do some forced fasting of sorts, but the Lord says you're about to see the feasting table open up, and you're going to see the influence come back. And the Lord says there's a young generation that's hungry to hear from someone who has wisdom and gray hair. And Father, I just thank you right now for the grace that you give to Jerry.
Yes.
Father, this amazing vessel of honor. I honor him, Father. I speak blessing over his life, and we pray for him every day. And Father, we release the blessing of God over his life. Father, thank you that you lift him up and that you bless him in this hour. Father, with temporary provision, but the permanent provision is coming. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can keep going. I just want to be.
Yes. Keep going.
I want to be submitted to you.
You're under submission, but if you feel the anointing is
okay,
let's go.
Jane Gleaves, let me just share with you what I sense. You know, I see like a flower that never opened. Like a rose that never opened, but sitting there over the years, sitting.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. You can see inside the green petals that cover. It's a beautiful pink rose. And it wants to open. And I just see that you've not been able to fully express all that God's put within you. But you're coming into season. And there's such a fresh fragrance on your life, and you know it. You know that there's something fresh about your life. And I just see you beginning to blossom in this season. And the blossoming is not just for you, it's for your family. And I see family changing. I see family making new decisions. And I see some things, you're okay with things the way they are, but you still have to pray about this and pray about that. And I just see things elevating now by the Spirit of God. God just lifting the whole family up. And I see where there's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And you're going to see with your own eyes that fragrance invested in all of them. You're going to take the oil of anointing that's on the inside of you, and you're going to invest it into each one. And the Spirit of the Lord says, daughter, I preserved you and I protected you, but now I've raised you up for such a time as this so that you would be able to impart to the family. I just see years of counseling, and not counseling because of a problem, but ministry and impartation. That's the word I'm looking for. Impartation. And that what you have is true and it's valuable, and there's gold in there.
Yes.
And we know it firsthand.
Yes.
We know firsthand the gold that's in Jane Gleaves. And Pastor Tracy, before I came here, she said, if Jane's there, make sure you prophesy a good word to Jane.
Yes.
So, Father, we bless Jane. Jane was our sister for a long time. Father, we bless Jane. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the wealth of riches that you put within her. Father, it's not about money on the outside. You can go to a used car lot and see beat up old cars that people worked so hard to get, only to see it deteriorate. That's not real wealth. Real wealth is what's inside, what you put inside. And Father, I just thank you for that real wealth in Jane. Father, the gold that you're mining out of her in these years now that are in front of her, Father, how she will influence and impact this up-and-coming generation. She will have a son that's a senator. Whether it's a grandson, I don't know, but the Spirit of the Lord says, I hear that, and I will bring it to pass, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is awesome. This young lady right here, what is your name? Brandy?
Brandy,
are you related to somebody?
Associate pastor
with Mark and
myself.
Okay. So you're the pastor, you're the associate pastor. Are y'all married or?
No.
No, you're married to somebody else?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Just so you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. Brandy, there is such a prophetic call on your life. You're called as a prophet. And there is a call to arms. You know, Paul Revere was called to arms. And he made the announcement, two arms, two arms. And there is that crier anointing on your life. You've got that prophetic cry anointing on your life. And you're going to call women to arms. You're going to call the people to arms. And I just see a flickering flame on the inside of you. But I see the Lord pouring fuel out on you. And I see some real in-depth training and development. And I see the Lord giving you somebody that will really turn up the fire. You've already got the fuel. You've already got it all in you. You just need somebody to come along and turn it up. God never lets us turn up our own fire. You know, He always gives us a dependence on a leader. And it's just a powerful, that's a powerful relationship that God's going to give you. And I want to say somebody like a Sharon Stone coming in and just really fine-tuning you and releasing something so strong within you. It's already in you. And there's no limit to it. You know, there's just a flow. And Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And you're going to give such living water to so many. And that prophetic call and prophetic anointing, you have to mature it. You can't just take it and use it. If you take all the ingredients in the cake and you don't take it through the fire, all you have is a bunch of mess. And God doesn't want you releasing a mess on anybody. And so you're in a process right now. And then things are going to be baked together, baked whole. And then God will serve you up. But it's a little bit more of a process, not a long process, a little bit more of a process. But I see you imparting. And are you married with children?
Yes.
Married with children? Three?
One.
You got a couple more coming. I can just tell you, I see that very clear. And you got to be careful. And I'm just telling you, I'll just give you some training on the spot, on the job training. You got to be careful not to just prophesy that over younger ones, because it's easy to prophesy that. But I see you standing with three babies with you. I don't know how old your the one that you have right now is, but I see some littler ones. Yeah, I saw like some time in between. But the Lord's going to bless you. And you've got such a call, you know, and there's a mommy heart within you. You can't get out of it. And that's the Father's heart, too. That really is. And so God's called you, my wife. She has such a mommy heart.
Yes.
And she loves people enough to love them and correct them in a loving way. And you got that same kind of heart within you. And so, Father, I just stir up that gift within her. Lord, I stir up that prophetic anointing. Lord, let her prophesy. Give her space. Give her place. She's got to grow. She's got to learn. You said, by reason of use, we have our spiritual senses exercised to discern both good from evil. How does she know if it's her or if it's the Lord, if she doesn't have the opportunity to exercise it and to learn how to use that gift? And so, Father, I pray for timing. I pray for opportunity. I pray for moments of training and moments of powerful release. And Father, she's not one that's going to be lifted up and raised up in vanity because of the accuracy that you're going to release through her. But Father, she's going to be one that's humbled by what you release out of your mouth, out of her mouth. And Father, I just thank you right now that she is to prophesy to her own prosperity. She's to prophesy to her own prosperity. Father, to call it in. To call it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father, her family will be so blessed, Father, that these things are just going to start falling right into place. Father, I thank you that you are the God of such alignment and such integrity and such awesomeness. Father, don't let her get pulled out of alignment.
Yeah,
let her stay right where she's supposed to be. Father, that she would be the great warrior that you've raised her up to be. You have so many that need to stay in the place where they're planted. And Father, I just thank you right now for the amazing grace that you release in her today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brother here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this awesome man of God and his family. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that there is a powerful heart in him, and he's trying to find his signature. He's trying to find his style. He's trying to find his personality. And Father, I thank you that right now you're going to start showing it to him. Holy Spirit, I thank you that just like every person has a unique fingerprint, Father, he has his own fingerprint in the Spirit. He has his own style, his own way. And Father, we celebrate it. We don't try to form it into my thing or anybody else's thing. But Father, we just thank you that you call us to be different with each other, different from each other, Father. And I just thank you for his unique gifting and anointing, his way of delivery, the way that he breaks it down, Father. You gave him a gift to do that. And brother, I just see you just with a prophetic apostle, somebody who just really breaks it down, revelatory, but yet line upon line, and establishes. And that prophetic apostle anointing is on your life. And your wife is an apostolic prophet. And those two go together perfectly, even though they seem like exact opposites. But there is a flow, there's a spark that's established when that happens, so that the flame can be there. And Father, I just thank you for the fire of God in this fellowship. Father, let the people come. Father, release the multitudes to come to him now, Father. Those that are called to be his, those that you've called to be a part of his fellowship, Father, I just call them into fellowship now. Father, let them come in. Let them begin to populate, Father. Let this begin to be, let him begin to see it in the Spirit with his, when he closes his eyes as he's up preaching, let him begin to see the place so full, so packed full, Father, that they're going to need a new place. Father, let it just begin to come together in a way, Lord, that honors you. In a way, Father, that gives opportunity for others. Father, let him begin to take the word on equipping and releasing and establishing. Father, let him begin to find new ways to use these tools. Father, I just thank you that he's a creative man. Father, that there's creativity on the inside of him. And he has a leadership creativity. He will find creative ways to lead so many creative people. Father, I thank you that it's not just for one little church over here or one little church over there to get the multitudes, Father. But the Nashville is coming, is waking up. And Father, the multitudes are going to start running into every church. And Father, that this man is going to begin to set a model and set a framework that others can follow. And he can plant other extensions and plant other places. And Father, he's going to be not just in other places in the city, but in other states. And Father, I thank you that that's part of the apostolic. He's going to plant ministries in other states. And Father, you're going to give him a framework to set up something that lasts. Father, not something that goes away, but something like, I want to say like Subway. You know how Subway, there's Subways everywhere. No matter where you go, you get the same sub. And because they bake it fresh right there, and you're gonna cause the word to be baked fresh in every place. It's not gonna be a leftover sent over the next week over to another location. No, it's gonna be baked fresh all the time. But it's gonna be like a consistent ministry all over the multiple states. And so, Father, I just thank you that you've spoken to the vision in the man. And, Father, I thank you for releasing the provision to the man, to release the vision in the man. And, Father, we just release our faith, Father God, for them to come up even higher now. Father, that there is a mantle that you have given to them. This is not just trying something out. This is not just doing a good idea. Father, they are mantled by you. They were once dismantled. But, Father, now you put things together and you gave them a mantle. And so, Father, I charge them and I anoint them and I bless them today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.